Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Kamma in the 7th chapter, Perek Merubah. We are at the 4th Mishnah, which is somewhat of a parallel to the 2nd Mishnah, as I indicated on the handout. Here are several cases which, in somewhat parallel cases in the 2nd Mishnah, nonetheless, the person is liable for Arba V'Chamisha. In these cases, the person is generally liable for Kefil, but not Arba V'Chamisha. Here we go. Ganav al Pishnaim. So if there's testimony of two witnesses to Gneva, V'Tavachu Machar Pi'Edachar al Pi'atzmo, but if he admits, he is the one who admits, or there's only one witness to the Tzvichu Machira, Misham Tashlum Kefil, Misham Tashlum Arba V'Chamisha. He only pays Kefil, testimony of two, no payment for Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha. And that will be our main focus in this discussion about the role of Hoda'a and Edim. So the next few, we'll just go quickly. Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbat, Ganav v'tavach l'Avodazara. If he did either of those things, where the Shechita was for Shabbat or for Avodazara, either on Shabbat or for Avodazara, in either case, he would be Chayav Mitah. And therefore, because of Kam Le'Bid Rabbineh, he would not pay Arba V'Chamisha. Ganav Mishal Aviv Umet Aviv Achakach Tavachu Machar. This is something that we saw in our discussion of Mishnah Bet, where if he stole his father's stuff, and then his father died, and then he did the Tzvichu Mechira, now he's being Tovach something which he partially owns. So he's only liable for Kefil, for the theft. This is the one which there's some discussion about. Ganav V'Hikdish V'Achakach Tavachu Machar. If he stole the animal, then was Makdishit, and then in Tzvichu Mechira, he only pays kefil, because by the time he does tficho mechira, it belongs to Hekdesh. Rabbi Shimon puts a slight caveat on this. Rabbi Shimon omer kodshim shechayav b'achrayutan. If you have kodshim, which the owner is liable for, such as a neder, then you have to pay arba chamisha, because he's going to have to make up for that lost animal. She'ein chayav b'achrayutam patur, but if it's something that you're not chayav b'achrayut, then you're patur, and we're going to deal with that in the next podcast. Right now, our focus will be on the first clause, in the first case, which is hoda'ah. Now, al pi dechad pshita. So it's obvious, why does the Mishnah have to mention that if the tvicha was only based on one witness, you don't have to pay arba chamisha? Amri, hakamashlan al pi atzmo dumir al pi dechad. It's there to juxtapose admitting on your own that you did it, next to one witness coming. And what's the juxtaposition for? Mal pi edechad ki ati edechad mitzarif bahadeh michayev. Just like if there's one witness, and then another witness comes and joins him, now you're chayev. Al pi atzmonami ki atu edim michayev. Same thing if you admit it on your own. If edim come, afterwards you're chayev. All right? Lafukim en ravuna amarav. This opposes Rav Shita that we're going to explore in depth on Amud Aleph. The Amar of Huna Amar Rav, Modeh Biknas V'Chakach Ba'Wedim Patur. Remember, Modeh Biknas Patur. If you come and admit my ox killed a slave, or anything, I stole something, classic case, you do not have to pay the fine. In the case of Gneva, you do have to pay the Karen, though, and that's something that will play a critical role later on. So Rava is of the opinion that even if afterwards witnesses came, since you admitted it first, you are Patur. I will say that Shmuel disagrees. So our Mishnah seems to disagree also, at least according to this interpretation, that by putting Eid Echad next to Al Pi Atzmo, just like Eid Echad, if another witness comes and substantiates the testimony, you're Chayiv. Similarly, Al Pi Atzmo, if witnesses come afterwards and substantiate what you said, you're Chayiv, even though you already admitted it. Let's see. Gufa, Rav Huna, Marav Modeh Biknas, V'chakach Ba'Wedim Patur. Eit, Tiver Rav Chista, the Rav Huna. So Rav Huna quoted Rav. So Rav Huna is going to be sort of the lightning rod for this. Rav Chista challenged him, and he quotes a story. Maaseh Rabban Gamliel. Now, we all know that Rabban Gamliel had a favorite slave named Tavi. And Tavi, he said, was a great scholar and was very knowledgeable, and he loved Tavi very much. And because of the lo ta'aseh of lo lam b'hem tavodu, the aseh of lo lam b'hem tavodu, he didn't free him. So watch what happened. She simeit ein Tavi avdo. He blinded Tavi. We have to assume that he did it inadvertently. But he was very, very happy, because now he had a chance to free him. Mitzaol Rabbi Yeshua. Gamliel found his colleague Rabbi Yeshua. Amarlo, I ata yodea shetavi avdi yatzal l'chayrut. Don't you know that Tavi is free? He's very excited about this. Amarlo, lama. Rabbi Yeshua asked him why. Amarlo, shesimeti ateno, I blinded him. Amarlo, ein bidvarim klum. Said, your words mean nothing. Shekvar ein lo edim. He has no witnesses. Now, what does that mean? And there's another version of the story. But for right now, with this version, what does that mean he has no witnesses? Hayesh lo edim chayav. implying that if he does have witnesses, even though you already admitted to it, then you would be chayav to let him go, which, by the way, in this case, Rabbi Gamliel would be happy about. V'sham inan mina, what do we infer from this? Modeh b'knas v'chakach ba'u edim, chayav. So now, Rav Chista quoted the story from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua's response, saying that you can't let him go because there's no edim, implying that if there are any edim, even after you admitted it, he would still go free. And that's a challenge to Rav Huna's report in the name of Rav. Now, Amar Lei, Rav Huna answered to Rav Chista, Shana Magamliel, Delo Bifnei Beitin Odi. Magamliel just mentioned it to Rabbi Yeshua, not in the presence of Beitin, which means there was no Hoda'ah yet, which means that if Edim come, then the first information coming to the Beitin is through Edim, and that's why he'd go free. Ah, Rabbi Yeshua, Av Beitin Have. But what do you mean? Rabbi Yeshua was the head of the Beitin. The answer is Shelo Beitin Havekai. But who says that it was in front of Beitin? Remember, Gamliel and Yeshua were sitting and talking in the Beit Midrash or over dinner, and he told him it wasn't in front of Beitin, so it's not called a Hodah. Now, Vhatanya, we have another version of this story. Amarlo, Rabbi Yeshua said to Gamliel, Ein Bivarech HaKlum, your words mean nothing. Why? Shekvar Hodeta, you already admitted to it. Now, my love, Tanoihi, so shall we not say that the issue of Modeh b'knas v'chakach ba'u edim, patur or chayav, is a machloka tana'im, between the two versions of this braita. Hai tana demasha kvarin l'cha edim, the version that we first had, where Yeshua said, you have no edim, and that's why he's patur. Implying that if edim come even afterwards, you're chayav, so modeh b'knas v'chakach ba'u edim, chayav. They would hold that if edim come after the hodah, you're chayav. V'hai tana, the Amar Shekvar Hodeita, but the second version that we just saw, Savar Modeh B'knas V'Chakach Ba'u Edim Patur, would say, oh, you already admitted to it, it's too late, implying that once you admit to it, even if Edim come, you are Patur. So we would say that the Machloket Rav, and what we'll find to be later Shmuel, is a Machloket Tana'im and versions of the Braita. Well, we reject that. T'chuli Alma Modeh B'knas V'Chakach Ba'u Edim Patur. Everybody will agree that if you are Modeh B'knas, if Edim come afterwards, you're Patur. This is, by the way, against Rav. The machloket of the versions here is simply about what happened. The first version of the Braita, where Rabbi Yeshua said, you have no edim, he will maintain, this Tana will maintain, that Rabbi Gamliel admitted to the liability, to the act, outside of Beitin, which means there was no Hodah. If edim came, then he'd have to let him go. And the second version of the Braita thinks Beitin Have. He thinks that the case happened in Beitin. Magamli admitted in Beitin. Since we all agree that once you admit in Beitin, then that's it, even if it didn't come. Therefore, he says you already admitted it. Now, Itmar, here's the machloket. Modeh b'knas v'chakach ba'u edim, Rav amar patur, Shmuel amar chayav. Okay, so Rav says that you're patur. Shmuel says Chayav. We already identified our Mishnah as possibly supporting Shmuel. So Amar Rav bar Ahiloi, my Tama de Rav. Why does Rav say that Modeh b'knas v'chakach ba'u edim patur? Because the pasuk that we saw this at the beginning of our parak, im himatse timatse v'yado hagneva, and we said im himatse be'edim timatse v'dayanim. This is Rav's drasha, meaning if we first find out about it by edim, then it comes to the dayanim. Prat l'mashiyat tatzmo, which excludes when the information first comes to us because the guy tells us. All right? Then, lamali, what do I need that limud for? Asher yashiyun nafka. I already know that modeh b'knas patur because it says asher yashiyun Elohim yishalem shnayim l'rehu. When the Beit Din finds you guilty after Beit Shnayim, not when you admit it yourself. Why say it twice? It's there to teach you that if you're Modeh B'Knas, not just Mashiach Tatzmo, but Himatse, if the first information that comes is based on the information provided by the defendant, then there's no Knas, right? Even if the Edim come afterwards. Now, Shmuel, what does Shmuel do with that? That Himatse is not extra. That's needed to teach me that a ganav pays kefal for anything he steals, not just the items listed in the pasuk, which are chiefly animals. Can a Tana Rebbe Chizkiah, as Tana Rebbe Chizkiah had, if back on Daf Samech Gimel near the beginning of our parak. Eitavei Rav l'Shmuel. So now Rav challenged Shmuel. Rav, who said you are patur if you're Modeh B'Knas, even if edim come afterwards, challenged him with this. Ra'a edim shemasha shinu va'im. A fellow saw edim on their way to come to the Beit Din. V'amar, and so he rushed and said, ganavti. I stole. But I didn't do anything more. I didn't slaughter or sell it. He only pays Karen. So you see that we assume the Edim showed up later and said he stole, and he still doesn't pay the kefil. So Shmuel says, that's a case where the Edim turned around and left. They never showed up. But in the Sefer, the response to that brighter, Belozer Rav Shimon says, let the Edim come and testify, implying that of course the Edim showed up. And the only question is, does the Beit Din have any use for them? So obviously Tanakama says, if the Edim show up, we have no use for them, because the guy already admitted it. He said, Ganavti, he's only going to be Chayiv Karen, there's nothing more we can Chayiv him, you guys don't have any purpose here. So Amar Leh Shmuel, so Shmuel says, Lavik or Belozer Rav Shimon, Dekai Kavati. Okay, good, so I've got all those Rav Shimon supporting my position, which is even though the guy has been mowed there, Edim should come and testify, because they could add to that liability vis-a-vis the Knas. Now, so the Shmuel Vaday Tanoi, so Shmuel has to admit that his position is subject to Machloket Tanoim. He can't say everybody agrees with his position, because Tanakama here can't. L'Rav Milei Matanoi, but is Rav forced into a position of saying that everybody agrees with his, that it's Machloket Tanaim? Must he admit that Rav Elazar Shimon disagrees with him? Or could he possibly explain his Shita as being acceptable even to Rav Elazar Shimon and explain Rav Elazar Shimon differently? This is what Rav could say. My position, even Rav Elazar Shimon works with. The only reason there he said, let the witnesses come and testify, that the only reason that this guy admitted that Ganavti is because he saw the Edim coming, he was scared, and so he admitted it. He wanted to look like a good guy, maybe he knew Modi Bekanas, and therefore he admitted it. So Rav Shimon says, in a case like that, the Edim are meaningful. But of Al Hacha Demoda Miatzma, but in a regular case, when a guy says, I did it, then even if Edim show up later, I feel I was over Shimon Modeh, he would agree that the Edim have no purpose, and everybody agrees with me, which is that Modeh Beknas Patur, even if afterwards, Baru Edim. Now that's against the way that we interpreted our Mishnah. Let's see. I'm Rav Hamnuna. Now Rav Hamnuna adds a twist that'll really save the day. Mistaba Milte de Rav. Rav's words make sense, but Omer Ganavti Uvahu Edim Shaganav. If a guy says Ganavti, which means, by the way, he's generating liability for himself of Karen. You say Ganavti, you have to pay back the value of what you stole. That's Karen, that's Momonot. Uvahu Edim Shaganav. And then Edim come and say that Ganav, Patur, he's exempt from the Kefa. Why? Shaharei Chiev Atzmo B'Karen. His Hodah is somewhat meaningful. In other words, here's a guy who comes forward and he admits some liability, and that admission generates some financial responsibility on his part, which is Karen. So you could say he's a patur from the Knas. Aval amar lo ganavti. But let's say a guy says lo ganavti, which means he's admitting to nothing. Uvaweinim shaganav. Witnesses come and testify shaganav. So right away he's chayv kefal. V'chazar v'mar tavachtu macharti. And then he turns around and says, oh, you know what? I also killed it. And then witnesses come and say that he killed it or he sold it. Chayav, he's chayav arbu chamisha. Why? Even Rav would say, Zhrei patar atzmo miklum. Think about this. His statement tavachti didn't generate any liability for him. There's no reason to believe that this admission was anything but a trick. Because when he said ganavti, he generated liability of Karen. But when he said tavachti, after he's already chayav bekefel, he hasn't generated any more liability than if he had said nothing. And therefore, his hodah is meaningless. Now, Amar Rava. Rava said the following: Kipachti l'savi devei Rav. I have an answer that I could knock down the old man of Beit Rav. That's Rav Hamnuna. And what is? What's that? Tahar Rav Gamliel. The case that we had earlier with Rav Gamliel and his slave. Poter atzma miklum have. Think about this: when he came and said, I punched out my Eved's eye. He didn't generate any liability for himself. That did nothing. Because by saying it alone, he's not chayiv. And if Edim come, then he'd lose the slave in any case. So therefore, v'ka'amar l'Rav Chista Ravuna, and Rav Chista challenged Ravuna the way that he challenged him, v'lo kamashanile. And Ravuna had a very easy answer, which is to say, you know why. Remember, Rav Huna quoted Rav. Let's just get the background on this. Rav Huna quoted Rav as saying, Modeh Beknas v'chakach bo edim pater. Rav Chista challenged him with the Gamliel case. Rav Huna had an easy answer. He said, of course, there you're chayev because his admission didn't do anything. Why didn't Rav Huna defend himself that way by saying that's different? It must be that we don't make such a distinction, and that Rav holds anytime you wrote a beknas, even though Edim come afterwards, it doesn't matter whether your hodah did anything, any liability for yourself. Nonetheless, you're still potter. It must be the case. Good. Now, Itmar Nami, we're going to say it's not so simple. Amchia bar Abam Rav Yochanan ganavti uvau Edim sheganav patur shechev yatzmo bekeret. Rav Yochanan says exactly the way Rav Huna said it, which is if a guy says ganavti, and then witnesses come and say that ganav, he's potter from Kefel because chiyuv atzmo makaron. The same exact case we saw. Chayav. Why? His admission of tficho mechira didn't generate any new liability for himself, and therefore that admission is meaningless, and the edim afterwards make him liable for arba v'chamisha. Now, Amravashi, matniti to brighta nami deka. If you look carefully at our Mishnah and at the Braita that we just quoted, you will see that point that modiv knas v'charkach ba'u edim potter is only true when the hodah generates liability. Matnitin, how do we see it from our Mishnah? That non ganav al pishnayim etzavachu machar al pi nechar al pi atzmo mishlam tashlum akev mishlam tashlum yavu chamisha. The first case in our Mishnah, which is if you stole with two witnesses, and you then did the tficha mechira with one witness or just on your own admission, you pay kefil and not arba v'chamisha. Now, lama litani ganav al pishnayim. What are you ganav al pishnayim there for? So, litani ganav etavachu machar al pi erechad al pi atzmo and mishalim etake al karen. Why don't you pick a bigger chiddush, which is, if he did the gneva tficha mechira with no witnesses, just his own admission or one witness, that he only pays karen. Why not mention that? It must be that ganav al pi shnayim tavach machar al pi edecha ganav tavach al pi edecha al pi atzmo. Who? It's only in the case where there's reliable testimony to the gneva, and then he admits the tficho mechira, or there's one witness. So mechayiv atzmo bekaron that his admission did not generate any liability for him. Then it's only in that case that Hudamrin al Piatzmo Dumi al Piedechad. As we saw in the beginning of our Gemara, that we saw that there was a juxtaposition between one witness and admission, which is Ma al Piedechad ki ati Erechad mitzarif bahadei v'chayev. Just like with one witness, if another witness comes, that generates a proper set of witnesses in your chayev. Al Piatzmo Nami, same thing with your own admission, ki atu edim mechayev. If witnesses come afterwards, a chayev. But if the case that you were suggesting should have been written, which is the entire thing was based on his own testimony, the chiyev atzmo bekeren, that you made yourself liable by admitting that you stole, then lormin al piatzmo dumid al pidechad. Then we don't compare the two. And now what we've come is full circle. We've said that our Mishnah does not really contradict Rav based on Rav Hamanuna's caveat, and that's why I said Rav Hamanuna saves the day, because Rav Hamanuna said that Rav would only extend his rule of moda beknas v'charkach ba'u edim patur in a case where your hodah generates liability, and that's why in our Mishnah, when there's testimony to the gneva and then you admit to the tzvicha mechira, Rav would admit that you're chayiv if edim come afterwards, and therefore it's comparable to one witness. If another witness comes, you're chayiv. If two witnesses come after your own hodah, you're chayiv, because you didn't generate any new liability. And so now our diuk that we saw in the beginning of the Gemara that said that our Mishnah goes against Rav doesn't go against Rav anymore. And Rav is now, at least, if not supported, certainly not contradicted by the implications of our Mishnah. Okay, that's Rav Ashi's proof from the Mishnah. Braita, what's the proof from the Braita? Tanya, Ra'ai Edim Shemisham Shemashashinu Va'in. This is the case where the guy saw Edim coming and he ran ahead. Marganavti Avalotavachti V'omacharti. He said, I stole, but I didn't do anything more. Edim Shalom El Karen, he pays Karen. Now, Lama Le'mitni V'marganavti V'lotavachti V'omacharti. Why do we happen to say this weird thing? I stole, but I didn't slaughter. Nini Oganavti Otavachti V'omacharti. Let him just come and say, I stole, or let him come and say, Tavachti V'omacharti. Al Hakamashman, what's it teaching? Tam Adamar Ganavti, who it's the only reason that he's putter, is because he said Ganavti. Why? The Chiev Atzmo Bekeren. By saying Ganavti, he created liability for himself to putter. That's why he's putter for Tzvicho Mechira, even when the witnesses come and say he's slaughtered. Aval Amar Lo Ganavti, that's why he's putter when the witnesses come and say he stole. That's why he's putter from the Kefa. Aval Amar lo ganavti, but if he said lo ganavti, uvau edim shaganav, and then witnesses come and say he did steal, so obviously it's chayv kefel, chazar mar tavachtu macharti, then he admits to the further act, uvadim shnavachu machar, to lo chayv atzma makara, and that second admission of his did nothing, chayev, then he's liable. Alma hodah d'tzficha lav hodahi. So you see that his admission of tzficha is not enough of an admission to get him off the hook for payment if witnesses come later. So Rashi says you could see a diuk to support Rav Hamnuna's limitation of Rav's ruling, both in our Mishnah and in this Braita. Now, as far as the Braita goes, we knock that down. I'm relo. He gufa kamashlan. The reason the Braita is constructed, after all, Rav Ashi's diuk was, why did it say ganavti velo tavachti? Why doesn't the guy just come and say I didn't do anything? So we said, no, the reason it's written there is for a different reason. He gufa kamashlan, instead of teach you, kev and damar ganavti, once the guy says ganavti, afagav damar lo tavachti velo macharti, vau edim shtavachu machar, patur. The guy says ganavti, which means right away he's chayv b'keren, he's going to patur from kefel. And therefore, even if he says lo tavachti v'lo macharti, and they come and testify even to tzvicha mechira, he's off the hook. Why? My time at tashlumei chamisha amar achmana v'lo tashlumei arba v'lo tashlumei shlosha. The Torah said arba v'chamisha, not shlosha v'arba. Think about this. The guy comes and says ganavti, which means he's chayv and karen, pata from kefel. Then witnesses come and say tavach. That would mean you have to pay, let's say it was an ox, he'd have to pay three more, which means he ends up paying four for an ox. There is no payment of four for an ox. Four for an ox. Or let's say he says, I stole, and it was a lamb, so he's patur from kefel, and if they come later and testify that he killed the lamb, he'd be chayev to pay two more, which means shlosha. There is no shlosha. And so therefore, the reason the Braita picked this particular case is because once he comes and admits to ganavti, there's nothing else that they can be mechayiv him. He was mechayiv himself, Karen, and there's nothing else, even if he says, I didn't slaughter it, and they testify that he did. There's no way, because there is no such payment as three or four. There's only four or five. Okay. Now, Lema Ketanoi, perhaps this point of Rav Hamnuna is really subject to Machloket Tanaim. The point of Rav Hamnuna that's saying that Rav's position of Moda Beknas V'Chakach Bo'edim Pater is or is not limited to a case where your Hodah generated Chiyuv. Hayushnai Mi'idin Sheganav, let's say two people testify that you stole. Vayushnai Mi'idim Oto Shtavachu Machar, and another two were testifying that you did the Tzvicha Mechira. That's like our third Mishnah. Huzamu ede geneva, if the first set was huzam, the whole thing falls apart. We saw that at Mishnah Gimel. Huzamu ede tvicha, but let's say the second set was muzam. Humashalam tashlume kefal, humashalam tashlume shlosha. He pays kefal, and they pay either the remaining two or the remaining three. Now you're going to turn around and challenge and say, wait, you just got through telling me that there is no such payment as three. Correct. To have an entire payment for the law, the theft and slaughtering of an ox to be four times the value of an ox, there is no such thing. But to have the payment split between the god of himself and the Edim Zomim, that certainly can work as long as the proper amount is paid. He pays kefal, they pay another three times, another two times for a lamb. That's perfectly fine. Okay, that's the position of Chachamim. Mishum Sumchus Amru, but they quoted Sumchus as saying something very weird. Hein Mishalmin Tashlume Kefal. The witnesses pay kefal. Fumashalam tashlume shlosha, the parashnaim la'il. He pays three or two if it's a ram. Okay, now, ahekai sumchus. What's sumchus talking about? Ilay ma'resha, if he's talking about the resha where the ede geneva were muzam, the whole world agrees that if an edut falls apart, partially, the whole thing falls apart. And remember, without testimony to geneva, there's no testimony here. Because all you could testify is a guy slaughtered a lamb? Could be his lamb. Could be Hefka. Who knows? So there's nothing there. And Sumchus has to agree. It's a basic axiom that we all accept that if an Eidut is partially annulled, the whole thing falls apart. So it can't be that Sumchus is referring to the first case where he would say that they pay Kefal and the guy pays the rest. Vel Asefa must be the last case, the second case. And the second case where the Eidut Tvichor Muzam. That makes sense. Shapra kamar Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said correctly. Humasham tashlume kefel. Because the Ede Gnev are in place. He pays kefel. Vahumasham tashlume ushlosha lapar. Ushnaim la'ayil. Right? Vahemashamin tashlume shlosha. The fellow pays kefel. And the Edim Zomin have to pay the rest. Because the Ede Tficha were Muzam. So, Sumchus can't be referring to either one of our cases. Ela miltach ritekivanau. There's a third case, what I call the hidden case, that must be there. And that's as follows. Going to Atu Beitrei, it's kind of complex. Two guys come and say, Amrile ganavta. They came to the guy and they say, you stole. Amralahu in. He said, yes, I did steal. Ganavti, none of that. Tavachtu macharti, I did more. Miulobifnechem ganavti. But guess what? You weren't there. He says, I admit that I stole, but you weren't there. Va'aiti sadi avazminhu, and then two other witnesses came and were mazim those two, to lo papayu ganav, that the ganeva wasn't in front of them. He said, at the time you testify you were there, you were with us. Va'aiti balabait sadi, vasidu be de ganav tavachu machar. And then the original owner of the animal comes and brings witnesses that ganav tavachu machar. Okay? Uvodat tvicha kamipalgi, and the machloka between sumchus and chachamim here is whether the fellow's hoda'ah that tavachu machar is meaningful at all. Alright, and let's see how it works. Drabbanan Savri, they hold, afagav do'odah d'gneva machman edim hu d'kamode. Why did the guy admit that he stole? He admitted he stole because there were edim there, even though he said you guys weren't around. Hoda d'tzvicha hoda hi upater. Therefore, his admission about tzvicha is a meaningful admission, and then therefore he's pater from Meng Shlosha. V'sumchu savar, sumchu says, kevan de hoda de gneva machman edim hu d'kamode, since he was admitting to gneva because there were edim there, the tficha lav hoda, the admission of tficha is nothing. V'hanach edim kamoid as minu mashal min tashlumi kefal. Therefore, the first two witnesses that are muzam have to pay kefal. Mashal shlosh avar shnayim leil, and he has to pay the rest because we have testimony that ganav tavachu machar. But we also have Edim Zomin about the Geneva, so they pay the Kefal, he pays the rest. That's the way that we're imagining what Sumchos and Chachamim are disagreeing about, and the Machloket, according to this, is whether his admission of Tvicha is a meaningful admission. Because they all agree that he admitted to Geneva because there were already witnesses there, even though they turned out to be Muzam. And therefore, is an admission that doesn't generate any liability for you an admission that gets you off the hook? That's the question. So we say it's a machloket tanaim. So now, Amar Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Ika lo, he rejects the entire interpretation of this braita. He says, "Tekulei Amar Hodah d'Tzvicha Lav Hodahi." Everybody agrees with what Rav Hamnuna said. When you admit to Tzvicha alone, it's not a Hodah, because you didn't generate any new liability for yourself. The machloket Sumchus and Chachamim is about a different principle, which is Educh Iatay Chol Hazima. An edut that you can't be mazim, is it a good edut? And here's the deal. Let's say witnesses come and say, we saw this happen, but we don't know when. It's not an edut. It's not an edut because there's no way to be mazim it, because nobody can come and say, imanu hayitim. Okay, so now, what's the case? Again, two guys come and say, you stole the animal. Marlahu, he said, ganavti, v'dvachti macharti. I did that and I did more. Miu lo bifnechem ganavti. But I didn't do it in front of you. You weren't there. But rather in front of these other witnesses. And then he brings the witnesses, the other two witnesses, that not only say that he did steal, but that it was not, but that it was not in front of these guys, these original guys. So first he brings witnesses that can be mazim the first, and then there are two other witnesses that come who testify to ganav tavachu machar. Uvahaka mipalgin, this is the machloket. Rabbanan savri havila iduchi itachol azima. The testimony of the second group is iatayachol azima because he invited them in. They're not coming of their own volition. There's no way to be mazim these guys. V'chol iduchi itachol azima lo havi edut. That's not called an edut. And therefore, it's not called an edut. Therefore, his admission of what he did generates liability, and therefore, his odah is meaningful. Even though you can't be mazim an edut, it's an edut. Therefore, the second guy's testimony is meaningful, and therefore, his admission of Geneva is not an admission. It means nothing. And therefore, the only thing is being modet to is the tvicha, and that's not a hodah. Now, wait a second. We all agree that an edut, you can't be mazim, is not an edut. Where's Sumchus coming from in this interpretation? The answer is, when do we say edut, that's when they don't know what time or what day it happened. So there's no way for anyone to be mazim them from the outside. They could be totally conspirational witnesses, and they're being vague enough to keep themselves out of trouble. To like a edut klal. But here it's the opposite. They're supporting the contention of the defendant. And so the reason you can't be mazin them is not because of a lack of information, it's because the information is too solid. And that, Sumchus say, is a good edut. Parenthetically, now, the problem is that in the beginning of this braita, we said, if the guy admits ganav, and then the witnesses come, it turns out they're muzam, they pay kefal. Why do they pay kefal? After all, he has to pay karen. Minikamodu, the ganav, karen bar shlumi, he has to pay karen. Right? So I'm a rabbi lozim, ishmei derav tani tashlum de kefal. Don't read kefal, but rather tashlum de kefal, meaning they have to pay the rest of the kefal, meaning the second part of the kefal. Okay? Besides the karen that is, of course, going to be paid by the ganav himself. Okay, we'll hold off at this point and pick up with our analysis further on into the Mishnah, which will take us into the world of Kodshim and Achrayut. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.